Adventure begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by Now and Technicolor Podcast.
Welcome to the heat. Swim on the feet. In a technicolor beam, you and me. Caught up in a dream. In a technicolor beam to the heat.
Everybody, and this is Jay Lost Today, and this is Now in Technicolor, and I happen to have some special guests on here with me today. The very fantastic, that I really enjoy, the Netflix and Swill boys, Dan and Caleb. So, hey fellas.
Were you about to call us the Netflix and Phil boys?
No, I'm pretty sure I said that Swill, but yo, I have this little like, part in my mouth where like words don't come out right. The first time a lot of times, especially when I'm talking real fast.
There's a joke there that I can't actually say.
Because there's a dick in your mouth?
It's too inappropriate.
It's like, well, if you take the dick out of your mouth, man.
That's kind of in the direction the joke would be going.
Oh, okay.
Yes, hello, I'm here too. I'm Caleb.
I'm like looking at him on Skype being like, dude, participate. You're here too. Please stop letting me just sink.
Tired of you carrying your dead weight ass.
Oh,
how's it going?
Like, come on, man, do some work. Not too bad. Not too bad. I've had better days, but not too bad. This has actually been my highlight. I've been looking forward to this since we set it up. So,
oh man, I've been so excited.
Oh man, we're ready to let you down right now.
Ah, hell,
nah, I love Conan, so I've been so excited to talk about it.
Hell yeah. Well, Dan, I'm going to be honest with you. There is no way in hell you're ever going to bring me down lower than I actually am.
Now we have to go through a depression off because because there is no one who can ever be lower than I am right now.
And that going back and forth is going to trigger my anxiety, so I'm just going to sit here awkwardly and silently. and around the wheel goes.
And around it goes.
It's the wheel of pain where I'll lash to it, and then 20 years from now we'll be big, strong barbarians and into the fighting pits.
So as soon as we turn about 40.
But we won't be able to actually speak any words except for Crom.
Yep, we're not gonna be able to say a motherfucking thing till we're probably about 45 at least. 45, 46 by that point, by all the time he killed everybody and then did all the training, because then at that point, like, they actually, he was made available to the finest readings in actual language.
Yeah.
Or, like, it said language was made available
and,
to him.
And it was at this time that he also came to know the pleasures of women.
Yes.
Right?
All right. So, right quick. We are talking, just in case, we are talking about Conan the Barbarian, so we're going to get into that right quick.
Slave. Barbarian, warrior, thief, Conan.
They said you'd come, a man of great strength, conqueror, one who could crush the snakes of the earth.
Bears are their own deaths.
He's evil, a sorcerer who can summon demons.
Day of doom is here. What daring, what arrogance!
I salute you.
Hey!
dreamed of, comes the most incredible adventurer of all. The man they call Conan the Barbarian. Coming to a theater near you from Universal Pictures.
Warrior. Thief. Gladiator. Conqueror. Conan.
They said you had come. A man of great strength. A conqueror.
Throat and make it give us what we desire.
All drown in lakes of blood.
Father!
He's evil, a sorcerer who can summon demons.
Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
Out of an age undreamed of comes the most incredible adventurer of all.
What daring! What outrageous!
Barbarian.
All right, so the 1982 Conan the Barbarian. Now we're actually going to get into this. So what we, as you were talking about, like the pleasures of women. Yeah. Yeah, there you go, Dan. There you go.
You know, I thought I had it bad, and then I realized that Conan the Barbarian didn't have sex until he was like 30.
You think that's bad?
Oh. Well, God. I mean, that very tasteful first interaction with the little lady that was apparently...
Where he's in a cage, and they just like throw this woman in with him who's like...
Oh my God!
Like a
I'm gonna die!
Or like a slave or something.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely a slave. That's not even a question.
Man, there were some things that you could do in movies in the 80s that you just can't do now.
No.
Yeah, that's why the 2011 version is so different.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons, but... Yeah, so... Like, this film was originally planned as being, like, a James Bond-style franchise. Like, they originally were going to... Like, they outlined 6 stories for the film series. Didn't make any of them... Like, the original, like, lore authentic script was thrown out, and they ended up making this one, which is sort of true to the lore, but they throw in, like, the Nietzschean, like, philosophical themes to it, which is cool. And, like, kind of make it more focused on Conan's life philosophy and everything, so...
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It begins with like definitely... the Nietzsche quote.
Yeah, which I found weird. Like for what followed up the movie, like what the movie was following that up, it was just like, this is just nothing but like tits and people getting just fucking bludgeoned to death. Like, so why are we starting with a philosophy quote? Like, what?
Well, I don't know.
It's like sprinkled with little bits of philosophy in between bloodshed.
Yeah, I don't know. Nietzsche's one of the most misunderstood philosophers, and Conan's an often misunderstood hero, so it's kind of appropriate, I guess. I don't know. I think they just kind of wanted to seem real, like,
they're
super,
like,
super metal, like, oh, we're gonna start it with a fucking Nietzsche quote.
It's like, god damn,
knock knock,
who's
there?
Metal.
God is dead.
So metal.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So I guess he's dead already.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, it's something. It's not bad in a sense, but it's not great.
No.
I mean, it's a fun movie in a way. It reminds me of basically watching an old D&D campaign.
Yeah, it's got like that 80s action campiness to it. But then they throw in the like the sword and sandal, like you know, the outsider hero is going to come destroy the evil sorcerer, and it's just kind of like the classic like sword and sandal epic.
Oh, well, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it's like Hercules with Conan.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's pretty much it. It's like, oh, I defeat all these damn things. I am now the greatest. I've defeated the evil witch. I am the greatest.
Yeah. There is one little bitch that I'm going to make about this movie, since, like, I am just a big fan of the Conan stories and everything. Which, the 2011 version got this right with the beginning of the film, but in the beginning of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan, it shows him growing up in the village, and he has both of his parents there and stuff. But the Jason Momoa version got it right, because, like, he was born on the battlefield, and his mother died trying to protect her unborn child, and that whole thing. So, like, the fact that, like, he's got his mom in that just kind of annoys me. I don't know.
Well, no. Well, I'll tell you what annoys me.
It's like Conan was fucking born hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. But, like, no, the thing that annoys me the most about that actual scene, not only does he have his mom, but when you know, James Earl Jones, he shows up, he stands there, he's looking at her.
Yeah.
She's prepared to fight, and then he just stands there, stares. She just drops her damn blade, just walks the fuck away.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Just walks away. Just lets his hand go, walks the hell. She's like, well, fuck it.
Well, it's supposed to be like he mesmerizes her or something, but I don't know.
At the time, at the very beginning of the film, you're just like, what kind of shit is this? She just abandoned the fuck out of him. And then later on, you know, near the end of the film, when you see him sitting there in his castle and he's doing the whole thing, and his face is becoming kind of snake-like.
Yeah.
Shit. And I guess at that point, you're like, then I guess you can put a connection together to go, oh, well, maybe this motherfucker has some sort of like mesmerizing stare when he stands there and looks at you.
You know, kind of like the Jungle Book.
Yeah, like the Jungle Book. Snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's just kind of a common theme throughout like legends involving snakes, is that, you know, like demons or whatever would use snakes to like ensnare and like charm humans. I don't know. But
demons,
so what do you
mean the devil, because he had Eve eat the knowledge fruit.
Well, yeah, well, like that's why it's so hard to get a girl to pick what restaurant to go to, right? Because, like, the last time they decided what we were going to eat, they doomed humanity.
God damn.
I've heard that joke 1,000 times, but it's still funny as fuck.
Oh, man. I don't actually believe that. But, yeah, what do you think about James Earl Jones as Thulsa Doom, the snake sorcerer?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't realize it was James Earl Jones at, like, the very beginning. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
James Earl Jones in, like, a wig with bangs.
Right?
Man, come
on. He looks ridiculous.
No,
he
I see him, I'm just like, goddamn, James Earl Jones' hair look luxurious.
Yeah, I want to, like, just burrow into it.
I just want to stand there and just be like, oh man, who did this hair? Who did this?
You know,
man,
what
let me give this motherfucker a tip.
You know what my favorite fucking scene with
just
him is in this movie is where he's like, he has the fucking bow and he like reaches into the quiver and pulls out a snake and he like draws it and it becomes straight and rigid and he's like,
yep,
seek.
Yes.
And he shoots the fucking snake out of his bow.
Yeah.
And it just like impales. God, this movie's fucking bonkers.
It's so fun.
I'm going to be honest here. Like, for the first 20-ish, maybe 30 minutes of the movie, I'm just like, oh, this is just gonna be like a like kind of a regular old like fantasy, like not fantasy, but like fantasy kind of style movie, but with like no ridiculous shit whatsoever. And then we get to the snake temple where there's just this giant fucking snake, and like, well, never mind. Apparently, this is just a giant fucking fantasy movie. And then James Earl Jones turns into an actual fucking snake, and I'm just like, well, never mind. Everything I just thought is just wrong. Just, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a pretty silly movie. Like, it's a good movie, but it is pretty fucking silly. And of course, he has to go through the whole, like, finding his companions. So he finds Subutai, the archer.
He does.
And,
he finds, I want to point out, Valeria, during that whole goddamn snake fight, why did he look like he might as well have been in a Final Fantasy game?
Oh, God.
He was just like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, no, his companions in this are fucking awesome. Of course, like, Valeria, who he falls in love with, she ends up dying, and that's, like, kind of his motivation to revenge. And I love, like, the old guy who's, he serves as both the narrator and, like, he's a regular old character in the movie. And, but basically he, like, follows Conan around and he's, like, his chronicler. And so whenever they're having the funeral for Valeria, like, Conan lights the pyre.
Yeah.
And, Subutai's like, why are you crying, to that dude? And he's like, he is Conan, he will not cry, so I cry for him.
Oh yeah.
And it's
dude,
just like
it really does.
So much shit like
it,
that
it's really
like,
fun
throughout this whole
like
movie.
Say, it's interesting, and
it's just
James
like
Earl Jones's hair is
like,
luxurious.
Yeah, this
and
this
that
reads
scene
out
where,
like somebody's
he has
fucking
died
D&D campaign
and,
that they wrote,
bringing him back to life, and they were fighting the Wisp.
Fucking cool.
That's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous when it, just looking at all of that, because it's like, well, it's definitely the 80s.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. They, like,
no.
The effects budget isn't the greatest. Nor was the technology really there.
I mean, that is like the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
It's just saying that. Like, the effects don't look good even for the 80s.
Yeah. No, not at all. But, I don't know, they do hit, like, I think enough of the hallmarks of a Conan story that, you know, it's at least good. It's like, you get the whole, like, magic is exclusively
the purview
of evil
people. I mean, it becomes better. It literally plays out like a D&D
and
campaign,
like, here comes
campaign just because of the fact that as they meet,
the guy
it's like
just
they're
a
all
really
level
skilled
one.
Fighter to, like,
break
and
by
in
the end of it, they're all, like, level,
you know, steal
9, level
something,
10.
And he just kind of blunders into this bigger adventure. But, so that's all pretty cool. Yeah. Yep. And then they all get, like, super dope at everything. But, yeah, it's just, like, it's kind of a shame with the sequel, which followed this up in 84, Conan the Destroyer. Like, it's, they kind of threw out all of the good, like, Conan-esque plot beats, and it's just kind of a generic, like, hey, here's a bunch of assorted heroes, and they're gonna go do a thing, and, yeah. It was pretty lame, and, like, he didn't have his companion from this, it was just, like, generic, like, guy with two knives, and then there was Grace Jones with a spear, and I think somebody else, I don't know, but... Nah, I don't know. That movie sucked.
Yeah, make us in this one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, is this Mako? Like, is Mako doing the narration for this movie? Because it sounds a lot like fucking like Uncle Iroh and Aku. That's the two things I know Mako from. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, is that him? And it's like, oh yeah, that's definitely Mako. Okay. Which, also, another thing I want to point out, they have what looks to be, like, a Far Eastern person as a Subutai. Is that his name? The archer and thief?
Subutai,
I'm sorry. I switched a couple letters there. But, like, at least, like, he's a Far Eastern Like, yeah. At least in this kind of
oh my god, the
character.
Fucking...
But he's also, like, Polynesian, too, so it yeah. makes sense that he, like, the way he looks, it's not like they whitewashed it, which, good job, 80s. Thank you for being a little progressive here.
The fucking scene leading up to his introduction, where, like, Conan's just, like, out wandering around, like, at the very beginning of his journey.
Oh, that shit's so ridiculous.
And, like, he goes into that hut, and, like, he's fucking the woman, and she's apparently, like, a witch or whatever, and she's, like, moaning out this prophecy about, like, his journey, and then she just starts to fucking transform into this hag and, like, digs her claws into his back, and he just rolls and throws her into the fire. Yeah, she fucking explodes. Like, this movie's God. Just so fucking good. It's so it's dumb.
This movie... It's so fucking dumb. It's like the most 80s movie you could ever conceive.
Oh my god.
The fucking... Like, I thought The Thing was an extremely 80s movie, and then I saw Conan the Barbarian, and it's like, yeah, this is on another level.
One of my favorite parts of this movie, too, is how Conan and Subutai have their whole pissing match about whose god is better, because Conan worships Krom, the earth god, and Subutai worships the four winds. So, like, they just have this pissing match about, like, whether the wind or the earth is better. And, like, they're walking through, like, a valley, and Conan's like, oh, it's so compact in here. Like, how could the wind ever get in here? And it's just, like, shit like that, but they, like, reference it throughout, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. I remember specifically about the point where he's saying something about the earth, you know, Krom, and he's like, the earth. And he's like, yeah, but does your god look up? He's like, yeah. Well, my god controls the sky.
Yeah. And Conan just, like, gives him that glowering look.
He's like, trump card. You win this round.
Oh, man. But, well, that's, like, part of Conan's big motivation for becoming an adventurer, too. Because when he dies, if he stands before Krom and he can't answer the riddle of steel, then he won't be allowed into paradise.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Which this next movie has a lot less to do with steel, I feel like.
No.
I feel like it...
It has nothing. Like, it's...
All right.
Ugh. Yeah, 2011 Conan's more of just like a straight-up adventure movie.
So, all right, 2011 Conan.
I see a journey. A man
crossing the sands.
A knight.
A warrior. Your paths will merge.
Behold! In despair! Your new master!
Kala raises the souls of the unspeakably evil.
You're sought to enslave all of Hyboria.
No man shall live in chains.
Come on.
Run from me, and I will tear apart the mountains to find you. I will follow you to hell.
There's almost no lore. Like, for instance, like, the only lore we ever get, really, is like at the very beginning where they talk about the mask, which is very Lord of the Rings reminiscent. And when Conan's his friend starts saying about how Conan has killed like this thing and that thing and like how he's a big hero. And that's the only lore we get throughout this movie. And that's it. Like the rest of it is all on Jason Momoa just like hacking shit to pieces.
Fuck that. There had to be at least 24 minutes of screen time for goddamn Ron Perlman. 24 minutes of screen time.
I'm fine with that.
And it,
I'm okay with Ron Perlman.
I mean, I'm not worried about it, but I'm just like, okay. I understand a lot of it, but it was just like, okay, so we're going to give us 26 minutes of him being a badass, chopping people's heads off, and then the last hour and a half is going to be what? When I started watching it. Because like I said, this is the very first time I've seen this, like in preparation for this, and I chuckled quite a bit through a lot of it. Like Stephen Lang, I'm like, I love Stephen Lang, but his character, I was like, okay. So his whole motivation is to get this mask with this shitty ass daughter of his to bring back his dead ass wife and rule the world. And when he brings back these demons, he's going to have control of the world. Well, isn't that a classic fucking ploy? Oh my God, he's going to control the world. And then when the demons show up, they're going to kill his ass. And then that'll be the end of that. Because what demon keeps their word?
It's a terrible plot. It's a terrible plot. However, it does star Jason Momoa, who I've never seen him actually act, but his actual physical screen presence is just so impressive to me that I kind of liked him better than I did Arnold.
So, he's the Rock.
So, this is where I come out in defense of this movie, because I fucking love 2011 Conan.
Yeah, no, I've been waiting. I've been waiting on Caleb, because I know he said he really liked this. So, come on, man.
Yeah, so this film feels like a Conan story. Like, I could see Jason Momoa, like, climbing the Tower of the Elephant to, like, slay the evil sorcerer.
Yeah.
And, like, they kind of abandon having, like, fully fleshed out characters in favor of having, like, these massive over-the-top set pieces for this film. Which works, because, like, Conan stories are like that, because just, like, this crazy shit is just flying out on the screen, like, oh, here's a sand monster, and, like, here's a giant tentacle coming out of a storm drain, and, like, here's just another random fucking thing, like, good luck hacking it all apart. And it's just, like, that kind of shit where it's just, like, we're gonna throw every fucking thing imaginable onto the screen all at once, and, like, this dude's just at the center of it swinging a sword around. And it just has that epic feel to it, like...
My whole thing is, I guess, watching
as,
it, I was
like,
thinking,
as a fan of the story.
I mean, yeah, I can understand.
Like, it just captures that feel.
It
so
is
kind well.
Like
of
like
it's just,
and I feel like that this movie actually relies either on the fact that you either know what Conan is and a lot of the lore behind it, or if you don't know what it is,
and that's probably where they went
wrong.
Yeah,
I feel like that's kind of what it did. And then they're like, and if you don't know what it is, it's just a bunch of dudes cutting the fucking piss out of each other. So come on now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Also,
it's got Rose McGowan in it. Fuck that.
Ridiculous amount of
Fuck
tits. Ridiculous amount of tits. Especially in like the first 10.
Oh, well, yeah,
like,
no, fuck that.
Once you actually see Jason Momoa on the screen, like
35 minutes in, you got nothing but tits all over the
place.
Newsflash,
Dan hates tits.
I love tits. Get the fuck out of here. Kill yourself.
Well, I mean, you watch the first one and you're like, how will they up the ante with the amount of breasts in this remake? You're like, surely they can't beat that.
You saw this many sets of boobs, which is four.
Yeah,
I'm pointing four fingers right now, in the first Conan.
Yes.
Total.
Yes.
And
yeah,
this
they
is
only
a
2 hour
and 10 minute runtime.
It.
35 minutes in.
You've already seen like
there
20
are
cents.
At least seven pairs of tits on screen.
At once. At once.
At once. And you're just like, well, they did it. They somehow.
I think Dan just had a slight.
They somehow
like,
got
aneurysm.
More boobs on screen. Yeah, because I'm just like, wait, what the fuck is happening? Why is.
He was just like, oh
what?
Shit, my dick can only get
why
so
are
hard.
Why are there so many boobs?
Oh, that's terrible. That's funny. But no, like seriously, Rose McGowan. I hated every bit of that. I'm not a fan of Rose McGowan.
She was the.
Stephen Lang's daughter. The older version of his daughter.
Yeah. She tries to blow her dad.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It's weird.
I was like, is she trying to blow her dad? And then nothing happens.
He's just
happened.
Like, you're not
like,
her. Yeah, because he's like, he's trying to bring back his dead wife to.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty similar plot to the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Yep.
Which, so, like, he's trying to bring back
his dead girlfriend,
his beloved, and like together they'll have enough power to control the world. But
yep, only this time they had the child.
So it's that, and
actually everybody had a kid.
Instead of mummies, there's like sand monsters
and dudes that shriek right,
goddamn
like octopus lions
thing
and shit.
Yeah, right.
I was like, Lang talks like a regular dude. All his soldiers yell like lions and can't talk. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, one thing that I do really like about this movie, because like I said, it just kind of ditches any form of character development in favor of just moving from action set piece to action set piece.
Yeah.
So like this thing moves along at like a frantic pace.
I did say that while I was watching it. I was like, it seems like they kind of just tried to make sure that this thing was as fast paced as hell, because it just keeps moving. Like it's.
Yeah. Which, like, if you're not into that kind of movie, obviously you're not going to be into this, but,
yeah, I mean,
this thing
fine.
Just, it's just a spectacle.
Yeah.
Like, it's larger than life.
Yeah, it's very much a spectacle. It is very much a spectacle.
But, like, it almost felt like one of those Greek mythology movies that they would make, like, today. For instance, like, Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Like, that.
Yeah,
it,
where
it
it's
felt like
one
of those
movies. Oh, I have to go and get the magic sword, and then I have to slay the Medusa, and then I have to do this, and then I have to do this. And it's like, well, why do you have to do any of those things? Oh, I just have to do it.
What about?
So here we go, off to adventure.
I almost forgot about this. What about Bob Sapp? Huh? Bob Sapp? An enormous black individual in the beginning. Like, it was huge.
Yeah.
I was like, so
dude,
apparently this was like around the time that like Bob Sapp was in like 5 movies and then like just disappeared.
Yeah.
I was like, apparently he was just going to come in and be a huge dude and then just, that's it. We are in no need of an enormous black man anymore. Once Michael Clark Duncan died, that position was out.
Yeah, really. Like, you figure with Michael Clark Duncan dying, like, that would be the most sought-after position that you would need.
Well, you know who honestly has that, I think? You know who I think took that mantle after Michael Clark Duncan died? Terry Crews. Everybody loves Terry Crews.
Yeah.
He's cut like an Adonis.
Dude,
I'm fucking
Terry
tiny.
Crews' fucking head has muscles.
Right?
Well, that
reminds me. Like, my dick pic for this week is The Longest Yard. It happens to have Terry Crews in it.
It does.
And, like, it's before Terry, like, the Terry Crews that I knew today. Like, I just, like, huh, that's just some really jacked black guy doing the robot and throwing fucking McDonald's food at people. Like,
yep.
Okay.
Which he kind of does that role a couple different times. And then, of course, in Friday, he's the dude that tries to fuck Cat Williams.
Wait,
in the last,
I've never seen Friday.
Very last Friday, the Friday after next, the last one they did, he is in that movie and he tries to fuck Cat Williams because he's fresh out of prison. And that's where Cat Williams is like, no, I'm just a boy, Damon. Leave me alone. I'm just a boy. He's like a little pimp, and at one point he's like, oh my god, pimp down, what, called police, pimp down, and shit. So it's ridiculous, it really is. So there was all that, and then of course this movie's kind of fun, kind of pretty interesting,
kind of
fuck. But yeah, other than the fact that I hate Rose McGowan.
Yeah, her makeup just looked so weird. Like, what they did for her makeup, for those of you who haven't seen it, they cut back. It's like a wig, but like,
yeah.
Imagine a normal hairline on a woman.
She's got
now
like a
push
7
push that
head.
Back like, yeah, now push that back like 2-3 inches and then scroll.
Yeah, it's like
text
the front of
along.
Her hair is shaved.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the first like half back. Of her head is, and then the rest is, yeah, back like he said. And it's yeah. not, everybody kind of has that look. Everybody's kind of got that hairstyle yeah. and that whole group of people. And it's not good. It's not good at all.
No, not at all. I don't know who thought that would be a good look for anybody, because they also get her mother, who I would
yeah,
also
I don't
have
know.
To
I
assume
mean, like,
was played by Rose McGowan to
no, have apparently her, that's how a necromancer was supposed to look.
Yeah, it's a different actress, but like, yeah, she has the same like general aesthetic as her mother, who like the bad guy's trying to resurrect, but
mm-hmm. Which makes it even weirder when she tries to suck her dad's dick.
Yeah.
Oh my god. This movie is fucking bonkers. Like, it's just all the fuck over the place.
Oh, hey man, it's got a guy being like killed by molten fucking steel.
Yeah. Yeah, Ron Perlman is fucking awesome in this. The score to this is great. Like, the whole young Conan sequence, I think, is really cool.
I mean, it's really cool. It really is. I like the scene where, like, he's training him with the sword, and then he's, like, telling him to stop. He's still pissed, yeah. and he breaks the fucking ice and just sends him through it. It's like, that's yeah. pretty fun. But,
Well, fire and ice are both important in tempering a sword, you know?
They are.
You gotta do both.
It's gotta be mixed well. Oh, there's oh fuck. And then of course there was something else I was just thinking about 2 seconds ago. With this whole thing.
Momoa's a lot more vocal in this than Schwarzenegger was. Like,
he is.
Mostly because he speaks English.
Yeah. But,
so you get awesome line drops, like whenever he's a kid, these guys attack his village and you know, he fights them and ends up being captured and shit, but, you know, later on in, like, the main plot of the movie is him tracking these people down. So he cuts this one dude's nose off when he's a kid, and he tracks him down years later, and the guy's just like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, I'm the guy who made you pretty.
Dude, I saw that scene, and I was like, holy shit, I actually like that. Because he pulls that up and just sticks his fucking finger right
sticks
there in
his
fucking
finger
face
in, like,
hole.
His nostril.
And just dig it, and it's just like,
fucking
argh!
Sick-ass face hole.
I was like, holy shit, that's really fucking funny. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Speaking of the score, though, like you said, it is a really good score, but there's a moment in it that just made me die laughing. It's right after he saves that girl and he's back there with the old boy. I can't remember his name, the guy that like he was with. It's basically his partner, the black dude. Mm-hmm. And he's dropping her off and he's like, and what are you supposed to do? Well, take care of her. And he's like, she has saved me and I owe her my life. And he was like, well, if you trust her, so do I. And then just. They come in with a huge score note like that it very fucking instant, and I'm just like, I die fucking laughing.
I mean
that's fucking great.
I mean, that's how fucking action movies are anyway. It's just like, all right, the dialogue's done, we gotta fill you with more sound. Burn notes. Here's notes of music for no reason.
Which, I don't know, this movie,
well, I was like,
as that, much as I like
well,
it,
the
like,
thing that got me, it, I was like, this the tension built here, there's no tension built here. There's no, like, actual main story. Like, we're not at a point that's climactic at any point right here. We're literally just in a transition point, and you literally played something that would suggest, like, he was about to, like, get his fucking head chopped off.
Well, I don't know. This movie does kind of fall into some of the, like, 2011 era film, like, kind of pitfalls. So there's, like, overly dramatic moments like that. There's, like, an over-reliance on CGI that isn't always up to par.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. This movie's just fun. And, like, fucking Momoa, his big line drop is... I live, I love, I slay, and I am content. Which is like the most Conan thing that you could possibly say.
It's true. It's true. And then instantly gets him laid.
Yeah.
Insta-laid,
like,
note.
Shit, if Momoa said that to me, I'd probably fuck him.
Eh?
Or more to the point, be fucked by him. But
yeah, most likely. It's a large guy. And he's Samoan, so he's instantly strong.
He's actually, I think he's Hawaiian.
I'm pretty sure he's just Hawaiian.
Is he Hawaiian? Just Hawaiian?
Which is kind of funny because in the Netflix show Frontier, he plays somebody who's like half Cree Indian and half Irish.
Uh-huh.
But like, he's obviously neither, but he kind of passes for a mix of the two. So
kind of like, what about Morgan Freeman being the narrator in this one?
Yeah.
I was like, well, they bumped up their narrator, I guess, in a sense. He's got a real smooth voice, but I was like, why is Morgan Freeman narrating the movie?
I mean, talk about one of the easiest paychecks that Morgan Freeman has ever had to collect. He doesn't even appear on screen. He just narrates this movie. It's not anything like makeup.
If anybody ever wants Morgan Freeman to be a narrator in a film, he'll do it.
Yeah.
Because every time Morgan Freeman shows up and explains something, he earns another freckle.
The more freckles he has, the more like God he is.
Yeah, the more powerful he becomes.
It makes sense. This makes sense. But what about how he was an Irish guy in Shawshank Redemption? He was totally Irish looking.
Yeah, why do they call you red?
Well, look at me.
Because I'm Irish.
I'm Irish. Come on. speaking of, Shelley Duvall, that shit was hilarious.
What?
I just thought about that. I was like, thinking about Stephen King movies. And I was like, oh, wait, The Shining with Shelley Duvall. And Dan be like, that was terrible trash.
Yeah, and then she never acted again.
Good.
She was so fucking traumatized.
She saw herself on screen and was like, oh, my God, I'm a terrible actress. I'm never going to act again. Oh, my God.
Fucking terrible. But retracting from that. Back to this, I guess anybody got any like closing statements for either of these films?
I'll say this: the action was far more exciting in the second Conan movie, and I think that's just because, like, I guess when I saw the 1982 Conan, and like I'm watching Arnold like swing this giant fucking sword at people, and it's not like cleaving them in half. I'm just like, well, that just doesn't seem right. Like, he's barely, like, it looks like he's barely hitting them, and, like, he's killing them. And I'm just like, I just got really confused by that. And then fucking Jason Momoa comes in on this one, and he's just, like, fucking, like, cutting dudes' fucking noses off, and, like, murdering, it's very kinetic. Like, straight up murdering people. Like, I just felt like, despite the second one, plot-wise, being more formulaic, and as a result, kind of more boring, the action was cool enough to keep it going and keep me interested, unlike the first one. Like, the first one had parts of it where I was just like, all right, I just want to watch Arnold murder somebody. Can we just get back to him murdering people, please? Okay, cool. We're back to murdering. Good. This one, it was just like, all right, Jason Momoa's murdering somebody. Oh, shit, he's murdering someone again. Oh, now he's getting laid. And he's murdering someone at the same time. Like, that's basically how this movie felt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love both of these films. 82 Conan had some effects issues and some acting issues, especially because like Schwarzenegger like barely talks at all because this is the first, like this is his breakout role, but he wasn't good at speaking English at all yet and like didn't have the star power for people to just not care that he couldn't talk. So there's a few issues there. 2011 Conan, like I said, it's a huge spectacle and like Momoa's great in it, but it has a few script issues. But both of these are really fun. They're both really cool Conan stories. If you're interested at all in these, like, please check out some of the original Robert E. Howard stories, 'cause they're fucking amazing. I would say start with The Phoenix on the Sword. That one's fucking great, and it's not overly long, so it's not a huge time investment. But, I don't know. These movies are cool. I love this genre. They both have that epic feel to it. And yeah.
All right. I mean, all right. So yeah, I enjoy both of them for the most part. I mean, I'm not gonna say like they're great films, either one of them. But there's definite parts in both movies I actually really enjoyed. I really like Arnold, and like you said, this is like his breakout role. It's not his first role, but this is definitely his breakout role. I think it's funny just because I'm like, this is a much better version of Hercules than they did the first time around. Anybody watch that Hercules in New York movie? That shit was terrible.
No, the only Hercules I know of is the Kevin Sorbo version, and I fucking love that.
Well,
show.
I mean, that's a good
or
show,
or at least I did as a kid. I haven't watched it since I was a kid.
Did you say love or loathe?
He said love.
Okay,
love.
But yeah, no, I can agree. I enjoyed that show when I was a kid. I don't know if it would hold up anymore now, but
exactly.
Yeah, but no, this was 1968 or so with Hercules in New York, and he didn't even get an act. Every time he opens his mouth, he doesn't actually, it's not his voice. They voiced him over. He's the only actor in the entire movie he's voiced over because, like, his accent's so thick.
Which I'm really happy that they decided to just not have Conan talk in the 82 version rather than dub him over with someone else.
Yeah, I was appreciative of that in a sense because I'm like, well, this is better, like, than doing that and just having him talk a little bit, you know.
Like, he says Crom like two or three times. He says the crush enemies see them driven before you and hear the lamentations of the women thing. But then, like, the only other line that he has in the movie is, like, before the final battle, he's talking to Crom and he's like, what the fuck does he say? He's like,
I know, I don't,
grant
like
me victory.
Much, like, yeah.
And if you don't see fit to do then to hell with you.
He's like, I don't ever pray or talk to the gods, but if you could see fit something, yeah, like what you said.
Yeah, he's like, I've never asked you for anything, but if you see fit, grant me victory this day. And if you won't, then to hell with you.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in Rick and Morty where Rick's about to be blinked out of existence, and then he's just like, "Come on, God, dear Jesus, dear sweet God in heaven."
And he saves himself, and he's like, "Fuck you, God, not today, not today, bitch."
One dot, motherfucker.
Jesus Christ, I forgot about that.
That shit's great.
Oh man.
Because the one Rick that saved the Morty. But fuck, man. Like I said, the movies are both actually pretty good. The Momoa one is very much fast-paced. It's a lot more action. Man. Very, very
it
much
was,
more to the point.
It was critically panned.
Yeah, but, I could see that.
I don't know. Like, now that it's just kind of out in the world, like, I would recommend people seeing it. But yeah, like, I think this has like a 28%.
24%.
Yeah,
it's not well received.
No.
Yeah, which is a shame because it's actually got,
which is funny because the first,
you know,
one has
some
70.
Good things to offer, but
it has a 70% almost.
Yeah, I find that weird, and I guess that might be because it's a product of its time. You know,
you haven't seen
something like that really in the 80s. So, like, it's new and it kind of, I don't want to say pioneers, but it leads into, like, the strong yet silent type protagonist that you would see a bit more in the 80s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to agree.
And then comparing that to the 2011 version where you've literally seen that kind of a movie about 1,000 times. So have it, like, having something to compare it against, you know, it makes it look bad. I don't think it's as bad as 24%. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's okay, but it's definitely not a 24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, just for kind of a baseline, like, the budget for Momoa Conan was $90 million. So bring it up to probably about 180 by the time you get advertising, marketing, and everything.
Yeah.
Box office, this made $48.8 million.
Jesus,
this was
fuck.
A huge dud.
Yeah. Terrible. That's terrible.
Well, do you think that has something to do with it? Actually, it's starring Momoa, because
it was an unknown actor.
It was like his big, like, first starring role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was before Game of Thrones, yep. So it was like, yeah. All right, well, we've never seen Khal Drogo before, so why should I go see this movie?
Yeah.
Kinda.
But, I mean, counterpoint to that, that fucking Gods of Egypt movie came out, and it starred Jaime Lannister, and nobody went to see that, so.
That's also because it looked like butthole. Yeah. Like, did you see the CG? Also, like, Jaime Lannister, it looked like it was really from 2011.
I haven't seen it. I've heard people talk about it. Like, I listened to it about it on Chris and them show on a More Gooder Than. And, yeah, just it sounded like a turd when I saw the trailer, and it sounded like a turd when I listened to them talk about it. So, well done, movie theater. Well done, Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, you really, like, if the script is just garbage, you can't really do much to save it.
Well,
no matter how much money you throw at it, but
yeah, it just seems like for there for a while, and still sometimes now, but there's a lot of money thrown at really garbage ass movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's no fun, but yeah, no. All right, so I guess what would you give it overall if you were to actually rate these movies? What would you give it?
Remind me again of your rating scale.
All right, so the rating scale is. A case of 40s, a case, a six pack.
That's the five.
Yeah. A six pack, 40, going to sleep, and coma. So each one is 5 down to 0.
Which I love these. I love these.
I fucking love that.
Neither of them are.
Yeah, I'd probably honestly give both of them a six pack.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like they both have merit to them,
but reading the actual stories, I would give a case of 40s to. Watching either of these films takes a lot less time, but is only a six pack. So
yeah.
I have to agree. That's exactly where I was gonna go, was a six pack, because I'm like, they're both fun. Should definitely at least check them out once in your life. Mm-hmm. If you want to watch it more, that's up to you. But literally at least once. So they're fun. They're both worth it. But overall, I'm just not like they're. I'm not like, yeah, I'm gonna come back to this every chance that I get.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I cut you off, Dan. If you have something to finish out there, I've drank 35 out of my 40. So
nice. Yeah.
No, like, they both, like, both movies have merit. Like, I feel like the script is a bit stronger in the first one. However, it's not as well acted because, you know, Arnold literally says fucking nothing. And he has nothing but, like, this one look on his face.
He's a man of presence. A man of deadly presence.
Yeah, he's definitely got kind of just the imposing screen presence that Conan should have. But
And with Momoa's version, there's clearly less of a script there. Momoa can act a bit more, and the fight choreography is a bit better.
And
but like because the script is so fucking bad, it has to really hold back.
Conan is a barbarian, obviously, but like he's also very intelligent. So like the whole like mocking his opponents while he kills them thing that Momoa has going on really strengthens the character, in my opinion.
True.
I feel like if you put Momoa, like if you just did a straight up remake of 82 with Momoa, it would be a stronger movie overall. If you combine
the
two,
that would be a slam dunk.
It would be. I would watch that. I would honestly watch that. Schwarzenegger, though, I mean, I just I guess they didn't want him to talk. They just didn't want him to say anything.
They were gonna have Schwarzenegger come back and do like an old Conan movie that got that, like, that's officially dead.
Well, good.
If they were to bring this back now, like, who would even be the lead role?
Momoa?
Momoa is the only person I could think of.
Yeah,
I would watch
him.
I'm not watching The Rock. I'm sorry. I'm not going to watch The Rock do it.
Like, I almost feel like they wouldn't go for that because of how poorly the film actually performed, but.
But he's a lot bigger
now.
Yeah.
No, I
agree.
Be falling
he's
all
Aquaman.
Over myself to
he's
watch
Khal Drogo.
At one point during the movie, he's swimming. Star. All I could think was, "There we go." He's pre-setting himself up for playing Aquaman.
Yeah. No, I would be over the moon to see another fucking Momoa Conan film.
It might depend on seeing Aquaman and how Aquaman, like, in Justice League and his own solo film goes, yeah, before they decide that they want to do another Conan movie.
Hollywood, please literally do a Tower of the Elephant film starring Jason Momoa and just use the original story as the script. It would be amazing.
That would be fantastic. It's one of the few times I totally advocate just completely that ripping the story.
Oh, man. That short story is fucking out there. Like, you think there's some fucking bonkers shit that goes on in the 2011 Conan. Like, that story is just insanity.
Oh, totally. But yeah, so... All right, so we've talked about these films. We've enjoyed them. We've not enjoyed them a little bit. It's been great, fun. Everybody, won't you, or Dan, Caleb, won't y'all actually tell everybody where Netflix and Swill is and what it's all about?
Hell yeah! Well, you can find the show on iTunes, Podbean. Those are like our mains. We have Stitcher, like, is still broken. I don't know what the fuck is going on there.
A bunch of people are having a problem with that.
Nah.
It's actually just us, and so I married a movie geek. And I just tried to shame Stitcher on Twitter, and it didn't work. Yeah. So I have no idea what's going on.
I thought Paul and them were saying something about it.
No, they don't have Google Play. Okay. They're Australian.
Speaking of, we also are on Google Play. But, yeah, we're, like, you can just Google Netflix and Swill. You can find us. We publish every Tuesday, and basically we just review Netflix originals and just random shit that we watch, and drink really shitty alcohol, hence my 40-ounce...
It's big four diesel.
...bottle of fine malt liquor that I have sitting next to me right now. I'm drinking a Mickey's, because I just got random shit from the beer store today, but... the show's ridiculous. It's a lot of fun to do, though. So,
oh yeah,
me and Dan are both super fucking cynical. Like, Conan is one of the few things that I actually like. Like, most things I just shit on.
It is pretty funny.
Even more so.
It is pretty funny.
I've actually, like, when we first started doing the show, because I didn't want to be mean about stuff, I would review things more favorably than what I actually initially wanted to, but kind of
the time went
like
on.
Probably about 6 months ago, I kind of hit the tipping point where I was like, this is all garbage.
Well, you had to, what was it? You had to watch Spiders and then you just lost it.
Yeah. No, I fucking lost my shit on that episode. And like, smart. I only wish that review would have been done after I got my new mic, because like, I scream a lot during it and like, the sound kind of gets washed out, but
it's
still fun to listen back to.
Yeah, no, that was definitely hilarious. Listening back on that was fucking hilarious.
That was almost as bad as my Alien Covenant review, because I fucking put that movie on blast.
You did. You tore that one up.
Both of those are in our best of episode. That is episode 53.
Make sure to check that out. It's really good. It's really good. You should check it out. It's definitely worth listening to. Also, listen to that goddamn episode about BoJack Horseman with Fuzzy D, because that shit is amazing, and BoJack is the best, and fuck all the people I've told to watch that show and still hadn't watched it.
Okay, so a guy that I work with just recently started watching BoJack Horseman. Like, I think he just watched the first episode. But, like, after me and another coworker recommended it to him, he watched it. But he came back to work and he was like, man, I thought it was, like, some sort of, like, live-action, like, battle show. Like, he was a guy who rode around on a horse and fought people. So, like,
what?
I didn't know what was going on. And I was like,
are you fucking
high?
Wait, are you fucking high and blind when you selected the show? You couldn't see that it was
like,
a fucking horse wearing
it's a
suit?
It's a cartoon horse.
He's wearing, like, a suit jacket and some fucking jeans.
Hey, where's the sport coat?
I
couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I was like, please never talk to me, ever.
I don't know. I've honestly talked to a couple people that actually have seen it.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't really enjoy it. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand what's funny.
Fair, like, to be fair, BoJack for me was a bit of a slow starter. Like, I didn't really start to like it until I got about 5 or 6 episodes in. So you really just have to push through, and then the show becomes very good.
Yeah.
Especially in like season 2 and 3, they really find their identity, and it just takes off. But
yeah, well, I guess my problem is sorry, Dan.
Oh yeah, I'm a proponent that BoJack Horseman gets pushed by Netflix for next year's Emmys, because I fucking want BoJack Horseman to get some sort of recognition.
It should.
Because it fucking deserves it.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does.
It is some of the best written shit on television, and I use television as loosely, in this, like, serialized show. So,
oh, man. And they have some of the best running gags, too. And, like, just the little background gags. Like, there's one episode where, because, like, all the animals are, like, anthropomorphized.
Yeah.
So there's one episode where they're at some red carpet event, and just in the background there's a spotlight, and there's just a moth in a suit just pacing back and forth in front of the spotlight.
That show is fantastic. It really is. I don't know. I watched the whole first season in like one sitting. So that's probably probably why I enjoyed it so much. I just watched the whole thing. It was like, I literally from when I turned it on to the whole thing, I was like, this is actually really good. I really enjoy this. Like, the dynamic between him and Todd really kind of took off with me because it was so ridiculous.
That show's great. Like, they're really isn't a weak character. Like, once the show, like I said, kind of finds its identity, like, all of the regular characters have their own side stories that are going on, and they all weave together really well.
They do.
And, like, there's not a bad character. Like, there's not a character that, like, oh, when it comes up, like, oh, this is going to be a Princess Carolyn episode, I don't really want to watch this. Like, that never happens.
No. Dude, the one with her granddaughter telling the story and fucking the future.
Dude, that was heartbreaking.
Whoa.
And that's why season 4 kind of threw me off so much, because generally, like, it's funny all the way through, and then at the end they hit you with, like, the real gut punch, like, heartbreaking shit.
Yeah.
Season 4 is just, like, a downer season where it's just sad the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, there's a glimmer of hope.
Right? I was like, this is the only season where they kind of, like, just downer all the way and then, did that glimmer of hope. I'm like, this is the only season that ended with a glimmer of hope. And I was like, that's really interesting the way they did that.
It was fucking great, though. I love how they keep coming back to, because BoJack's a horse, but he's just fat and out of shape. But, like, I love how they just keep coming back to, like, he wants to run.
Yeah.
Like, he's just wrecked his body so much with drugs and alcohol that he can't physically.
Well, yeah. I was like, well, no, that's the thing. Like, he actually started doing the running. He was doing fine. And then he just gave up. And it's like, goddamn, man.
Well, the old guy shows up. He's just like, do it every day. And he's like, what?
Yeah,
like, make sure you do it every day. Because
whatever.
Then you'll actually start feeling good.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, because it, like, he explains, like, it always sucks. And, like, it's always hard, but it gets a little easier every day, but you have to do it every day.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know. I kind of hope that they kind of revisit that theme, because I thought that was a really good thing in that season. But
yeah, because it's not just, like, running. It's just, like, trying to feel good about yourself. Just, like, do, like,
yeah, it's
a positive
just anything.
Thing every day. Do
anything
a positive
you want
thing
to do.
Every day.
Like, literally, you're never going to do anything easy in your life. But it gets a little easier every time you do it.
Yeah. Essentially, it just comes down to, it's all right that nothing is all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, just try to do something good every day and just make it. It's life. It sucks.
Yeah, and that's just a cool thing, because, like, BoJack, like, they really show him kind of fall into that trap that a lot of people do whenever they try to do something new or, like, improve their lives. Like, you're not going to be instantly great at things.
Yeah.
And, like, BoJack just doesn't really get that.
No.
And that's why he's such an interesting character. But
heck yeah. Well, after that, like, 10-minute talk about BoJack Horseman, which was fantastic. I really enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, we were talking about where you can find our show.
Yeah. So make sure you check out Netflix and Swill. They are also part of their network brothers of ours. We are on the Podfix Network at podfixnetwork.com. And, of course, check out the Podfix Fantasy League that's going on with the Podfix Presents on its own special feed. And you can check out the live videos to which Dan is a product.
I'm 2-0 right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm 2-0. Get fucked, fucking Wes. Fucking
oh, yeah. Shit. And really, our network is fantastic. Like, any of the shows on our network are, like, they're all good. Like, there's not a dud. Like, you're not going to randomly be like, oh, I want to check out this show or whatever that's in our network and be like, oh, well, this one's a flop, you know? Like,
man, it's no BC.
We're all really
good. BC.
Like, we're all...
Except for Epic Film Guys.
they're a bit shit. But, no, like, I fucking love being part of this network, and like, it's just been such a good positive experience. So
heck yeah, this has been fun.
And we need positivity in our
that's
lives.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, but back to what I was saying. Wes, go fuck yourself. Wes in the in like the second episode of the show just started like throwing like serious shade at my team, and now Wes is 1-1 and I'm 2-0. So Wes, get fucked.
Hashtag fist yourself.
Yeah.
Which shit? We need to put that shirt up in the Redbubble so I can buy one.
Hell yeah!
I have to design it. I have
there
to
we
design
go.
It, so allow me to design it first.
We need one. We need a hashtag fist yourself. This must become a thing.
I gotta design it. It is in the hopper.
Good deal.
I just have to finish designing.
Also, I think that like there should be a shirt for me specifically that's either hashtag like or hashtag no because yeah. Because that's shit that I say all the fucking time.
I want to
everyone
says,
has started to notice.
Uh-huh.
Because I've stopped editing so hard recently.
I'm a fucking 16-year-old girl from Southern California. So
my response to you is John Talk. I'll send
what?
A response to everybody
no.
in a second.
What? No.
What? No.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Yes.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
That was
the darkness is spreading.
That was one of my favorite episodes to do because
we did all the fucking sound drops.
We did all the sound
yes.
drops. Like we're all idiots.
God, we're so stupid.
I think I'm supposed to be on the show sometime in November and I'm just like all I'm going to do is just every time Wayne talks, "What? No."
That's awesome.
There. That's all. That's what I have to share.
Oh yeah, that's
if,
when.
If you
want to
talk about
a
16-year-old Southern
episode.
California girl, there's Chrissy Winters
on
in
the left
Blink-182
side. Yeah,
that's video.
Her. That's her in the video for All the Small Things.
I don't remember what episode it was of So I Married a Movie Geek, but they were like, you can check out our IMDb pages. So I'm like,
I remember her talking
okay,
about
that's,
this.
Okay, that's interesting. You're both in the industry.
Yes.
So I check Chrissy's page after I check Justin's, and it's like, I was in All the Small Things. So I'm just like, what the fuck? Because I'm wearing a Blink-182 t-shirt right now. That's like my favorite band ever. So like when I heard that, I was just fucking... like, I'm sorry, what?
Right.
So I eventually tried to scour it, and then Caleb found her in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. That is fucking great. Oh, that is a perfect way to close this shit yeah. out. I'm telling
her,
you.
Her IMDb page lists her as screaming, crying girl.
Oh my God.
That's fucking great. Oh, dude. Y'all know what Jean-Claude Van Damme's very first, like, credited film role is known as, right?
No.
No.
It's Gay Karate Guy. That's his very
hey,
first role. His character is the
somewhere.
Gay Karate Guy.
I'm honestly kind of surprised that Schwarzenegger wasn't credited as Mute Barbarian.
everybody, you can check out our show if you want to at Now in Technicolor on Podomatic and at the website. You can type it into Google, all that shit, and it'll pull up the show. It's on all sorts of stuff, so you can check us out there. And like I said, the Podfix Network. But Dan, Caleb, this has been fantastic. I've actually really enjoyed having y'all on to talk about this. This has been a great time.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was a blast.
Yeah, dude, this is a blast. I fucking love your
thank
show.
Thank you. Thank you.
J-Man, let's talk about some fucking 22-inch Python sometime
Hell
soon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Smashley, I want John to send you back to your home dimension. No, because to get back on Shelley Duvall, she's like, I really like Shelley Duvall in The Shining, and I just start flipping out at work, because I'm just like, no one could like her in that movie at all. Not
well,
a single fucking
like
person.
You don't like anything about that movie. So.
He's like, Smashley,
you're
great.
I like Jack Nicholson.
Jack
and
Nicholson
that's it.
Is one of the greatest actors who has ever lived.
Right, because he
I
makes The Shining watchable.
He's not the greatest, because John Hurt is the greatest actor who has ever lived. Jack Nicholson's
right.
Like number two.
He is one of the greatest because he makes The Shining watchable.
He does. Yeah. The red.
If you ever want to cry really hard, watch The Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Is The Elephant Man like where the guy gets like has like elephantitis and shit?
Jesus Christ! I think there's like a drag race going on in front of my house right now. No, oh, that's the one. John Hurt's in that, and it's like one of the greatest acting performances ever, but it's basically he's like a circus sideshow like freak basically.
That's the guy that gets turned into like the medical experiment later on. Like he gets picked up as a circus sideshow, and then like he gets brought in front of all the doctors and they're trying to figure out what all has caused the problems.
It's the one where he's like, I'm not a monster, I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Because like all these people think that he's just like a freak and are gonna like beat the shit out of him and like ostracize him and stuff. But
yeah,
like you want to see a fucking heart wrenching performance? Like there you go.
All right.
Okay.
Well, buddy, take Caleb's advice. Check that out. Be a good idea. Watch BoJack Horseman. Enjoy the two
and
Conan
to
films.
Our shows.
And listen to the shows like you like said. And all right, everybody, take care. This has been fun. And take care.
I love you.
See you next
More shows like this, visit MoviePodSquad.com.